2017 is upon us. Some of us see it as a new beginning, as a positive. Some of us are anxious, worried because it is kind of like walking into the dark. Peter Jansen chose this title, A Walk in the Dark. What will it hold for us? For some, the unknown gives an excitement, but for others, the unknown gives anxiety. What is it like to walk in the dark? And what do you need to be able to walk in the dark? And how do you respond when you find that you yourself are in the dark? So just yesterday, I was talking to Willie Schellenberg about our missions committee meeting. And so he had sent me a text and said, should there be anything that's on the agenda? And I responded. And so he said, I just want to know because I don't want to be left in the dark. I thought, that's interesting. Here I am preparing a message about being in the dark. And Jordan says he doesn't want to be left in the dark. Or Jordan, Willie, says he doesn't want to be left in the dark. And so when you are not, when you don't know something, then you are considered to be in the dark on that subject or that situation. And so from this passage that Jake and Agnes and their family read for us, I want to take a few moments and talk about these people who find themselves in the dark and how they react into these situations. So the first person that we meet is Herod. And so Herod is in the dark. Herod has been had the Magi approach him, and they ask him about this new king of the Jews that has been born. Herod responds in a few ways throughout this story, but the first thing that he does is he seeks to bring some light to this subject. And so Herod is not a Jew, and so he doesn't necessarily know a lot of things about the Jewish culture. He is a Roman ruler ruling over the Jews who are living in Judea. Having a king arise from among the people that he is ruling is a threat to him. And so he calls Jewish scribes and chief priests to give him some answers. And because he's in the dark. And who better to give him the answers than those that would be considered to be experts? So Herod, through this, is actually able to shed some light on who this new king is. And so now he knows the approximate location of the birth. He knows that it's Bethlehem. He knows the approximate time. It's within the last 2 years. But he needs some more details. And so he attempts to keep the wise men in the dark so that they will shed the rest of the light on this new king so that he can kill him. He lies to the Magi and says that he too would like to worship this new king. So when Herod finds out that he has been tricked, he loses it. He goes on a rampage out of anger and kills every male child in Bethlehem and its vicinity, 2 years of age and younger. Herod doesn't like to be in the dark, and so he reacts out of anger. Although Herod did some research, his intent was always to destroy that which was putting him in the dark. From this story, we are not told if Herod found peace from doing this, but from my experiences, I could say that he probably didn't find that peace. I wonder how often Herod lay in bed at night thinking, did I really get him? In James 1, 19 to 20, we read that everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So as a result, we don't esteem or hold up Herod. Herod is the bad guy, and so we breathe this sigh of relief. When Herod dies, the threat is gone. Next, we meet the Magi, or the wise men, as we like to refer to them. And so we hold these people up because they came to worship Jesus, and they were nice to him. They brought him gifts, really nice gifts. But they too were in the dark. And what we often forget is that these people, the wise men, were pagans. They were people who used astrology, magical means, for their direction in their life. They had used these things to discover that a new king was born, and that king was the king of the Jews. These are not godly men, and yet they recognized the value of this king, and they came to worship or to pay reverence to him. So we could say that they were in the dark in a few ways. They were in the dark when they discovered the star. Obviously, at night, that's when we see stars, so they were in the dark. They were in the dark by using astrology or magical means to discover God's gift. Dark magic, black magic, dark things. But God still used it. My mind goes to John 12:32, where Jesus says, "And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." God is in the business of drawing people to himself. God doesn't seem to be limited to our ways or what we would deem appropriate to do so. I guess that's maybe a little bit of a rabbit trail, but how do they respond when they are in the dark? What information did they have? They knew that a king had been born and that he was king of the Jews. So, they followed a star. Have you ever tried to follow a star? And for us, most of the time, it's not a big deal. We don't follow stars. And yet our ancestors did. We also follow the sun because we know that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. And so when we're needing direction, then we follow these things. In the dark, on a clear night, you're not quite sure what direction you're supposed to go. Well, for me, I look and I try to find the Big Dipper because that will tell me where north is if I'm turned around. Some of you have an internal compass and you don't need any of that stuff. I need that. But these people followed a star. And so it showed that this king had been born and the star appeared in the east. And so they followed this star into the east. The Jews, they followed this star into the east and reached the land of the Jews where they sought some more clarification. A king has been born, so where better to go for clarification than to the king? Another king has been born, and we'll get some more clarification there. They did get some answers through Herod, but when they left Herod, they were again guided by this star. This time it's a little more difficult to explain because the star led them right over the place where Jesus was. It is something that we consider to be miraculous, but that shouldn't surprise us because the whole Christmas story is loaded with the miraculous. When they find Jesus, they rejoice because they have been enlightened. They have found this king and they worship him and present their gifts. I need to point out that we need to be careful that we don't connect the wise men's salvation with the fact that they came to worship Jesus Christ. Paul talks about this in Acts 17, verses 22 and 23, when he is in Athens, and he says, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I found an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The people of Athens, too, worshipped this God, but they didn't know him. They only knew of him, much like the wise men could have been. But the wise men are still in the dark about something else, because Herod has not disclosed to them what his intent is. And so God warns these wise men in a dream not to return to Herod, and they obey. So what did the wise men do when they were in the dark? The same as Herod. They sought to be enlightened, research, and asking others. But for them, the dark was a journey or an adventure. And they didn't seem to be threatened by it the way that Herod was threatened by his darkness. There's a third party that was in the dark in this story, and that's Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph had been informed by the angel that their child was the Messiah. So they knew that. But how was all this going to play out? So they were in the dark. Shepherds had come and they had worshipped. Simeon had blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your soul too." For Mary and Joseph, a little more light was revealed on a fairly consistent basis. They were given the basic and then a little more revealing all the time as they went along. And yet they always seemed to be in the dark. What will be next? And so, paraphrasing from this article by Carol Penner, Mary and Joseph only got minimal information when they found out about their role in Jesus' life. Mary wasn't told that Joseph wouldn't divorce her, which was quite likely. Neither one of them was told that they would have to go to Bethlehem for the birth of this baby, a fairly extensive travel. Neither were they told that they would have to move to Egypt after that. If they had gotten all of this information, the likelihood of them fleeing and saying this baby is arriving with too much baggage is quite high. How often do you find yourself when you're stepping into something new? 2-3 years down the road, you say, if I had known that, I probably wouldn't have agreed to this. Here in Matthew, we find out about their move to Egypt, which they find out through a dream, and they leave in the dark. I can't help but think about what was going through Joseph's mind as he told Mary what they were doing. Joseph is a newly married man. Their marriage is relatively young. I'm thinking about 2 years. In my marriage, I think we would have needed to have some discussion, and we would have needed to pray together, and then we would have had more discussion, then we would have had to pray together again, and then we would have repeated it. We're not informed of the conversation that Mary and Joseph have, but we do know that they left at night. No one travels at night on foot. They didn't have cars, and night travel wasn't advised. There were thieves, bandits, wild animals. What are you thinking? And Joseph and Mary were in the dark. All they knew was that this child's life was being threatened, and they needed to flee. There was no time to seek to enlighten this situation, to have someone fill in the blanks so that they weren't quite so in the dark anymore. All there was a step of faith. Faith that God had brought them there, and God would see them through. I'm reminded of Psalm 119, verse 105, which reads, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Just enough light for the next step, but I can't see my destination." I find it interesting in this chapter to learn of the darkness that God chooses to use. God uses the darkness of night to reveal the star, maybe not so interesting. But then God uses the darkness of astrology or fortune-telling to show the meaning of the star. God uses the darkness of the night as protection for Mary and Joseph in their escape to Egypt. God chooses to keep Mary and Joseph in the dark about their involvement. Then God uses the darkness of Herod's selfishness and jealousy to fulfill the prophecy of the prophets. You see, darkness is actually a part of every one of our lives. If you look at your life, each one of you will find that you are somewhat in the dark. We don't have the full picture. We can't foretell the future. We don't know what 2017 is going to hold in store for us. We know what's been in the past, and sometimes that scares us because we see a track record. We make assumptions, predictions, and we become afraid. We know that in 2017, Donald Trump starts his time as the U.S. president. But what's that going to affect us? We know that we have the privilege of paying the carbon tax, and we don't like it. I have heard from many people, and I continue to hear of people who have lost their jobs, and they wonder what next. Then we hear of people who get the news of cancer. Then we have those who lost their loved ones, and they wonder, how do I move on? Maybe this is a time that you find yourself walking in the dark, taking groping, fearful, tentative steps. What will the medical tests reveal? Will the bank foreclose on the farm? Will I find a spouse ever? Will I ever find a job? Will there be war? Will there be peace? What will climate change look like in 20 years? Whatever your questions are, is God real? Does God love me? We live in dark times where we feel unsure of many things. And it's a mystery why some receive illumination and others plod along fearfully in the dark. So what will you do in the dark? Will you lose it? not be able to handle being in the dark anymore? I hope not. Because there's good news. Although we spend some time, because we're all somewhat in the dark, the good news is Jesus Christ. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 6, read like this. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, a thick darkness over all the people. But the Lord rises above you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you, your sons from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will come to your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. It's a promise. We have this promise from God, that God is in control. Regardless of whether we can look and see anything in front of us, we can continue to walk, and we can continue to walk in confidence because we know that God is in control. We read it in the book of Revelation. It's done. He tells us what the end is going to look like. One of the great things that has caught my attention about the Christmas story over the past years has been the birth of this tiny baby. A baby has no ability to protect itself. It is totally reliant upon an outside force to protect and to sustain it. And here is God sending his son to this world as a baby, needing protection. God uses Mary and Joseph. God uses the dark of the night. God uses Egypt. God uses the fear of Joseph to protect this child so that this child could fulfill everything needed for our salvation. But these people were primarily in the dark. And yet God was involved and he was protecting. If God can protect this child in these circumstances, then God can also protect you and me in the darkness that we find ourselves in, the unknown of the world around us. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Isaiah 9, verse 2. We can walk with confidence into the dark. I don't know that that always means that we will be joyful to walk into the dark. But we can take that step with confidence. So what will you do in the dark? Will you see it as a threat or an adventure? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. We have seen the light, enough to keep walking. On Friday, we celebrated Epiphany, or Three Kings Day, which is a call to share the light, not to keep it to ourselves. And so my encouragement to you is that we encourage one another, that we share the light of Jesus Christ that we have within us, not keep it to ourselves, because you never know when you may be that person that brings light to the person who is hopeless in his darkness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have, in your infinite wisdom, chosen to show us the end. But you haven't shown us all the steps in between. So we find ourselves in the dark. We find ourselves in places of the unknown, in a place where we need to trust you for the next step in our life. Father, whatever situation we find ourselves in, I pray that you will enlighten us enough so that with confidence we can take the next step continue to follow after you, that we will not be those people that will fall away because we just can't stand this dark anymore. Father, we know that you are light and you have come to give us this light and to be a light, for us to be this light in the world around us. So, Father, help us to share that with each other. Help us to bring light to a dark world, that the whole world may know you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.